Micah, your ID card is ready if you want to come pick it up.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, I made everyone ID cards for our little company here of Somehow I Manage, which is just you and me.
What's this? What is this? What is this? This is a poster. This isn't an ID card.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. Also, my totally middle, normal to me.
No. My middle name is not Duty. It's Dean.
I'm sorry. That just... I'm so bad staring character. Duty, is your middle name really Dean?
Yeah, it is Dean.
It is Dean?
Yes.
Micah Dean Sargent? Ooh, yes, I kinda that's like me. That. Micah Duty Sargent? Are you a security... You're definitely a security threat.
Okay, see, so I agree with that part of it. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, that needs to be on there. But that's a wrong middle name, Tiff, and I'm upset about it. And
I'm sorry.
I just really think that we're going to have to...
Maybe not.
We're going to have to pull out the conflict resolution book.
Oh, no. That's a big book, because today is conflict resolution day at the office. And, yeah, we're discussing episode 21 of season 2, conflict resolution. Yeah, we have a big conflict going on, in addition to it being ID day, just off the back of Dwight getting his kind of security promotion. So he decided to update everyone's ID cards. And as we displayed, Dwight got a little bit of a prank played on him in his giant ID card that Jim made him, just as a little gift for being Dwight in this situation and making everyone get these ID cards.
Yeah, because this is all on him. And, you know, I understand the necessary are necessary improvements to the security of the office. but they've never done this before. They've been fine before. They don't need this. Everybody's annoyed by it. Mm-hmm. Sweet Phyllis comes and as much makeup as possible.
Dwight makes her feel really bad.
And it's sad.
It is sad. That's a sad moment. But we find out a lot of things about each of the characters in this episode, which I really like. And it's not even during like the conflict resolution part. Like right away, we find out that Kevin is in a band, which is new news because he's asking Pam about all of her wedding planning stuff. And that kind of trails into Pam has delivered her save the dates. And
yes,
she has not invited Angela for various reasons that she explains.
There are a few people I decided not to invite. And that might make things kind of awkward, but it's my wedding. And I don't want anyone there who has called me a hussy.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, it's, I also think that that's fair. I think she's right on that, but.
Yeah, I honestly, that moment, I was so on board that weddings, too many times I see folks just bend over backwards for others at their own wedding and do mm-hmm. all of these things that they don't really want to do and invite these people that they don't really want to be there and make sure that everybody's happy. And it's like, this is your special day. You focus on you. Don't worry about everybody else, because if they're good people, they're going to be there supporting you. Mm-hmm. And there's not going to be that whole deal where they're trying to sort of get what they want out of a wedding. And so I was so on board with Pam saying, sort of like putting her foot down and saying, this is what I want. This is not what I want. And that's going to be okay. But she's Pam, and Pam is a sweetie. And so she ends up sort of being guilted into giving Angela a save the date.
Yeah. On this whole day of conflict, we kind of start out with a conflict. And she ends up giving Angela the save the date. And what does Angela do immediately?
Ugh,
she criticizes
complains.
It. And it's like, ah, she's just so critical. It's so frustrating. So, and it's almost, we also see Phyllis complimenting it, you know, in contrast to that, we see Phyllis complimenting the invitation that Pam has given out. And I think that that's kind of foreshadowing, like without giving too much away. It's a bit of foreshadowing in how Phyllis feels about wedding invitations in general. And I thought that was kind of fun to see as a little bit. So if anyone knows what we're talking about, I don't want to spoil it too much, but you'll know that I mentioned it. So it's good. And this is a really big Toby episode.
Yes.
We finally get a Toby episode.
A Toby episode. essentially, this episode, as we talked about, surrounds conflict resolution. And who but the HR person would be the best at handling conflict resolution? And Toby's mm-hmm. like kind of excited and, you know, is ready to pull out. I haven't
as
had,
excited
haven't
as to Toby can be.
Exactly. I think that he might have, what is that? Low adrenaline, but, he's like pumped to pull out that, binder and, you know, break into it and get kicking. Unfortunately, though, that kind of pulls the attention away from Michael and makes him have to participate in it. And so he doesn't want to do that. Of course he doesn't want to do that. He wants to go and be in control of the situation instead, which then takes conflict resolution and turns it into conflict.
Yeah, he wants the win from the win, right? Like that's what Michael wants, to be the third winner in this scenario. And we get to see the poster come into play. But see, like that poster has been up at Angela's desk area since Christmas. Toby gave her that poster in the Christmas party episode. And now Oscar is deciding to have a big fit and complain about it. And what we see is Toby's kind of handling it in a good way, in an HR way, and just kind of letting Oscar vent. And of course, Michael then has to blow it up into this giant thing, and it just snowballs into basically everyone's conflicts and the entire office getting revealed.
How many of
everyone
you
else
have just been listened to? He's like starting this whole, it's just making it so much
he's
worse.
He's baiting the whole office. Yes. He's like baiting everyone into having a problem with this.
Let's get everybody enraged instead of just letting the thing fizzle as it was. And everybody, like, it wasn't as if everything was toxic in the office because these things fizzled. People were
fine.
It's
just complaints. Yeah, it's just minor complaints. And he's like stoking the fire. He's creating more conflict out of nothing when it was just, you know, a complainy situation, because that happens when you're with people. You end up complaining about like minor silly grievances because they're just annoying and you need to tell somebody about it. But really, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter, which is basically what we see at the very, very end of this episode when Toby's putting the box of complaints essentially away, like unmarked in a giant warehouse of a whole bunch of other complaint boxes. It's kind of, just like that nothing matters, that the complaints are like, it just dissolves into the air. It dissolves into these boxes, and we're seeing Michael making such a big deal out of everything today. I don't know, is he bored? We also get another mention of downsizing, so that's panicking. Like there's so much. Michael just throws the logs on the fire with this.
Yep, he does. And then it's not going to be in control of anyone. And like, even still, I feel like it could have been under control, but Michael has to go get all of those complaints and just throw them out there. And he calls it like, later on, he calls it a cage match between Dwight and Jim. But like, even still before that, it's sort of just like, let's just throw all our problems out in the open and we're going to solve them. But it's like, it's not really solving anything, Michael. So. Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that us as the audience gets as a nice little treat from this episode is we get to hear some of the little insights about everybody, which, as listeners know, I absolutely love when we get the tidbits of information about all the auxiliary characters. And we already have a good sense at this point to, you know, episode 21 of the second season of who most of these people are and what they're about. And a lot of their grievances just more, it reaffirms more of their personality, and it all just falls in line. Like, we find out Meredith doesn't like how bright and loud it is in the morning, kind of like indicative of her drinking problem. We get a complaint that Kevin files against Stanley about stealing his Miracle Whip, and we just heard Jim's impression.
I love the tangy zip of Miracle Whip.
So that like falls in line. I love that these little tiny threads that really don't need to be there flush everyone out so well. We get Creed kind of, we see him in the photo booth kind of like accidentally kind of doing a mugshot, which is like a testament to Creed's sketchy past. Oh, yes. There's so many little tiny things, and they're all really, really good. And I enjoy those immensely, and I've been paying attention to them more and more during these watch throughs. So they make me really smile.
Yeah, I absolutely enjoy the, especially the Creed one, because it's just like, it's a sight gag. And if you happen to be looking away, you don't see it, but you watch it and it's hilarious. And he's like, no, like, look forward, dude. What the heck? So we should probably talk about sort of the main thing that takes place in this episode, where I think everybody starts to feel a little bit awkward. And that would be Jim and Dwight and their relationship, and how Jim has essentially, you know, whenever you, cause I think that this can apply to not just the situation, but sort of like any sort of when you razz somebody a whole lot, or you and your siblings argue or what have you, when it's all laid bare out in front of you and you see all of that, it's like, wow, I'm not doing so great. Like, this is not a good thing. This is not great that I've spent so much time doing this. And so we just have these, all these things that Jim has done to Dwight.
This morning, I knocked myself in the head with the phone.
That actually took a while. I had to put more and more nickels into his handset until he got used to the weight. And then I just took them all out.
Every time I typed my name, it said diapers.
Just a simple macro. You know, these actually don't sound that funny one after another. But he does deserve it, though.
By the end of the day, my desk was about 2 feet closer to the copier.
Yeah, I just moved it an inch every time he went to the bathroom. And that's how I spent my entire day that day.
We hear this giant list, and it's kind of like the center of the episode. And I couldn't help but think of you, Micah, during this entire thing, because I know how you feel about Jim's bullying. And this is probably one of the first times that Jim actually self-reflects on his actions and feels and sees just how much he has done to Dwight over the years. And it is actually affecting him. And it's showing that he is a good person, but there's no conviction in yes. that at all.
He's having trouble, like, even saying it and believing it himself, because again, when you
but
look
man,
at it,
those
like
pranks
that,
are good. Those pranks are so good.
They're very good pranks. It was either the nickels or it was something else where Michael sort of like looks at Dwight like, what's the problem with this? Like, I don't understand why this is an issue.
Oh, like, yeah. There's a couple great sight gags as he's explaining, and it really points to some, it makes the pranks even more funny, even though it's just a list of pranks. But Michael is particularly happy during this situation, not the reading of the pranks with Jim and Dwight, that's a whole thing. But what we see is Michael being very proud that there aren't any complaints about him. But we get this wonderful, delightful little cutscene of Toby.
You will notice that not one of these complaints is against me.
Actually, I have a separate folder for complaints against Michael. This is January through March of this year.
I do enjoy that. And Michael gets to be on his high horse, but us as the audience get a little reveal that, oh, no. He's probably the biggest complainer, the biggest target for the complaints as anybody.
And that's very Toby, too, I think. Like, trying to sort of keep everything in line, try to keep him not getting angry, not getting upset. So one of my favorite moments of this, and I know sort of this is getting into grab bag territory, but one of my favorite things to quote about is Dwight's little rant about how he never smiles at the camera because it's showing one's teeth is a sign of submission among primates. Yes. He's like, no, I never smile if I can help it.
I love that he says that, and then we see him smiling at the end in the group picture.
I didn't even think about that.
It's like Dwight says these things to kind of seem like a really tough, knowledgeable person, like, I'm not going to do this in this moment, but then his convictions sometimes just fall away. You know, they're not really true.
Yeah.
Like his confessionals to the camera, I think, are the Dwight he wants to be. Aww. But in reality, he is much softer than he likes to portray himself as in front of his confessionals. We get also an Angela Dwight situation going on here and some miscommunication or misunderstandings between Pam and Jim. There's a lot of conflict in Conflict Resolution Day.
Ah, like, that's clever.
I know. But I love it. That's this is like a really great woven episode of The Office, in that they take a subject matter that's happening in an everyday office, add all the characters in, and then on top of that, they have these plot lines that are subject relative to what's going on. And so, and I really love that.
I agree, because I think that there are multiple episodes where we see these sort of like wink, you know, you get it, you see what mm-hmm. we're doing. And it's
on theme.
Yeah. It's, yeah, there you go. It's on brand. It's on theme. It's good. And I think that, you know, in this episode, the multiple conflicts that are taking place that could probably be resolved if Michael had not gotten involved in the conflict resolution in the first place yeah. is what really drives this home. And, you know, we see in this episode Angela and Pam, after Pam invites her and, you know, she's going to be going to the wedding. And then we have this moment where it looks like Angela may have left a complaint about Pam, saying that, you know, she's planning her wedding at work.
And this is right after Pam had, kind of saved Angela's butt in offering herself basically as tribute to, go ahead, read my complaints.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Deflect away from revealing Dwight and Angela's relationship, because Michael started questioning, like, oh, Angela, everyone in the office complains about Dwight except for you. Mm-hmm. Like, why is that? And then, so, and to stop that line of thinking, Pam throws herself under the bus and says, no, complain about, like, tell me about what people have said about me. So she did this great, wonderful, empathetic thing for Angela. And then she finds out, well, she thinks that Angela was the one that complained about her. So we have a lot of this. And Angela's actually like, no, I didn't. And so there's a lot of this back and forth, like misheard, misunderstood telephone situation going on right here. And emotions are very high. And we get into the whole scene all about the redacted file. And I actually really like this. I think it's very funny.
The fact that what redaction is and
yeah, like yeah. how they go back and forth about like, oh, who redacted this and who redacted that, and everyone's like, well, that was redacted, like, and everyone's getting upset, and like, yeah, it's an upsetting thing, but just the way everyone's chiming in, kind of like a conference room meeting style, it's one of my favorite kind of bits in The Office, where they're all just bouncing and yes. saying things back and forth very quickly and like reacting to each other like really viscerally, and all of a sudden, like, I really, really like that dynamic of this cast. And this is one of those moments.
I love how Kelly responds to Toby, because she's like, I thought I was talking to my friend about this. And he's like, and your HR representative.
Oh, Toby. So, and we also get a little snippet about Roy, even though he's not even in this episode, when Pam displays that she doesn't like to bother Roy with her feelings.
Oh, my Lord.
Why would you do that with your fiance?
That's... ugh. Don't get us started. We'll talk about how terrible Roy is for hours, because yes. he's the worst. But let's do the hard hitting bit, because we have Michael, like we said, sort of trying to get Dwight and Jim to come to terms with the fact mm-hmm. that they're not getting along. And Michael is reading out all these things that are happening, and they're sort of just getting stuck in the conflict resolution room that Michael has set up. And it's not working. Like, it's making everybody more angry. It's making both of mm-hmm. them, well, it's making Dwight more angry. It's making Jim sad. And I think that Jim realizes, wow, maybe I do need a change. Mm-hmm. And Dwight starts teasing him about a different job that he could take in another place. And Jim kind of looks like maybe that would be something he would do.
Yeah, it's a job opening that Dwight finds, kind of to bait him, because Dwight finding out that all of his complaints to Toby didn't actually go to the super permanent file in New York, which Toby lied about. He has this big explosion, goes to Michael's, it's like, it's him or me situation. And so we see Dwight basically exploding. And in response to that, he's trying to, I know, in his weird ways, like, not prank Jim, but, you know, bait him. And there's a sales manager position in Stanford. And what I really like about this whole thing, that Dwight brings this up and then he starts thinking about it, and they're kind of in the room, like the cage match style. And after it all, Michael kind of leaves them in there by themselves, and Jim starts being like, you know, maybe Stanford wouldn't be so bad. You know, maybe we can both go there. And even Dwight's like, well, it is higher sales volume. And I kind of think that that's nice because it goes to show that Jim doesn't hate Dwight that much to offer to go with him to Stanford. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's like, maybe we should both go. Like, you would never say that with someone who you're really, really trying to get away from. And we all know that Jim is actually at this point thinking about trying to get away from Pam because of his feelings and her planning the wedding and all of this stuff that he's going through and this position in Stanford being kind of displayed starts putting ideas into his head because we know that Dwight's definitely not going to leave. I mean, he loves Michael too much to ever abandon
poor
him.
Poor guy. Why?
So it's like this bittersweet situation that they kind of come to. And I don't, did the conclusion, it didn't really conclude with anything. It's more of ideas being set.
Yeah. We don't really have much of, I mean, well, it depends on what you mean, because we do see...
Well, Michael puts it off. He's like, we'll talk about it in like 2 weeks.
So no
tomorrow, yeah. Or next week or something. End of the week. That's what he says.
There's not really a conflict resolution, which was the whole point of the episode. And Michael does not...
Yeah, no one gets it. Even Angela and Oscar don't get their conflict resolution about the poster either. Like, no one... Nothing gets resolved.
The only conflict resolution that takes place, I mean, we do see Oscar taking a photo with the poster over his t-shirt because that was Michael's. So the win-win-win solution.
I do love this suggestion. I think it's kind of clever.
It is hilarious. Make the poster into a t-shirt. See, the important difference here is with win-win-win, we all win, including me for having successfully mediated a conflict at work. And in this case, that is how Michael sees that as a win-win-win. And for some reason, Oscar goes along with it, which I think is kind of funny. Like, begrudgingly, he's just like, all right, I guess I'm taking a photo. And the idea is that if he's got it on his shirt, he won't see it, but she could see it as much as she wants to. And I love how quickly Michael came up with that. Like, he just came up with that off the top of his head. And it's such a bizarre thinking outside of the box idea that it's hilarious to me. But yeah, that's like the only conflict that's resolved.
Ish.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
At the very end, we see Michael trying to pull everyone back together after this kind of day of hostility with a group photo, which if anyone out there has children and they know that they've ever tried to take a picture of a kid after they've been in a bad mood, it's kind of the worst. You cannot. It'll never, ever. I mean, guess anybody, not even just a kid, but anyone in a bad mood trying to smile for a picture is horrible. And Michael ends up dropping, what, $160 on getting this picture that he ends up eventually photoshopping terribly. And it's kind of terribly. It's terribly beautiful.
Yes. Like, I love that. Like,
actually,
should
be like a really good office kind of paraphernalia thing that you would get, you know?
Yes, to hang on your wall. And it's like, who are these people? And it's like, get out of my house. You don't know
that are all the wrong sizes. Oh, it's so good.
Listen, if we ever are in the same space physically, we have got to take like 4 or 5 photos. We'll put out a Dropbox link to the listeners and we'll have like another sort of contest where we have them try to make like funny Michael Scott style photoshops of the two of us.
So, like, and in the midst of this photo getting taken, we get the reveal that Jim was the one complaining about Pam.
Yes.
And
then
we see like a cutscene till the next day where Jim is now off to New York to interview for that job, presumably to interview for the job that Dwight had found on the Dunder Mifflin website. So nothing's resolved yet, but it's like stuff is happening. Things are changing and moving. And it kind of ends on this sad note, downer. And it's a tricky ending, but I think it's kind of appropriate and it's moving the story along.
It does. It feels right. As unfun as it is, it feels natural and it feels like I never had this sort of, well, that's weird, that's wrong, or anything like that. It felt like it was the right next step. And with everything that's going on and with him like wanting to be gone to Australia and all that jazz, it all made sense.
So I think we've come to our Dundee for this week.
Yes.
And this week's Dundee is in no relation to the show because we can't stay on theme when it comes to Dundees. We just go where
the Dundees take us, Tiff.
They do. Yes, exactly. And this week's Dundee is the Cookie Monster Award, and that goes to Cindy Clausen of Clausen's Cookies. I hope I'm saying that right. And on Twitter, she shared with us amazing office artistry on sugar cookies for CookieCon in Indianapolis, and they are absolutely too beautiful to eat.
Yeah, please.
Unless you're Kevin.
Did you eat these cookies? I need to know. And when do we get some? I need to know.
They're beautiful. They even have office quotes on them. There's like one of the teapot. There is Michael's mug. There is Dwight's yellow shirt. It's
Tiff,
really
I want one
good.
That's somehow I manage cookie.
I know. We should get some. Oh, man. There's so many things that we can do for like a crazy meetup that we would have. Yes. I would just, I love a theme party.
I know, because we have to, well, it depends on where it is, but like if we have it at a place where we can serve booze, there have to, like when someone goes up and if they try to order a screwdriver, the bartender has to be like, I have no idea what that is. They have to order an orange vodjuska. That's the only way.
Well, that's what the drink would be on the menu, the yes. orange vodka juice. Yeah. Oh, there's so many things to do. Did you see that there's that office pop-up bar? It looks so good.
It looked so good, but I heard later that it was incredibly crowded, so it was hard to sort of get an appreciation of it. But Chili's actually sponsored it, and I think that we need to talk to Chili's and see if they'll sponsor our podcast. We can do like a special app, or maybe like they could sponsor our meetup or something.
That sounds real good. I would put Chili's branding stuff everywhere for that.
I'll wear a Chili's shirt.
No shame. That's right.
I'll eat a Chili's pepper.
I want my baby back. That's it. I'll say
I'll
every
sing my
single
song.
Day. I'll do it. But anyway, all of you should totally go check out these beautiful cookies. We'll put a link to it. It's her on her Twitter account. So get on up here, accept your Dundee and
wonderful work.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, applause. Of course, we need our applause. We still have my half of the Michael Scott nickname contest out there because I keep throwing in Dundees and giving everyone an extra week. So you have a little bit more time. So
we've got to find the right
Micaroni and Cheese can have a partner in crime, right?
Yes, so. Micaroni and Cheese. That's who I am. Like, I really, really, really love Tiff Fanny Pack, but
I do like Tiff Fanny Pack.
There could be another one out there. We've seen a few that have popped up.
One more week, and then it's going to be Tiff Fanny Pack.
There we go. So if you've been holding on to an
sorry,
idea,
sorry, all of our Brit listeners, we have dirty mouths.
If you, yes, exactly. If you have one that you have not come up with, or that you've been holding on to, go ahead and get that out there. One that we got about 3 days ago from @OUTADOC, I think that's out of doc, is Tiffa knees and toes,
which that's pretty good.
It's long, but it's hilarious. And that's what she said. So let's go ahead.
Nailed it.
Let's go ahead and tell everybody. Of course, thank you so much for listening to our show. We love having you here. We love having you tweet at us over at @tall_beats. You can follow us. You can send us direct messages. You can share your nicknames, your nickety names. Mm-hmm. So you can get a nickety name award. And of course, you can become a member of the Incomparable. And by doing so, you get some awesome goodies from the Incomparable, but you're also going to get access to the Conference Room, which is a channel in the members only Slack for the Incomparable. So be sure to check that out. And last but not least, if you are listening to us in Apple Podcasts, or maybe even if you're not, maybe hop into Apple Podcasts for us, leave a review, leave a rating. We've seen some really awesome ones lately, and we're very appreciative to you for taking the time to write those out. Cause like, that's no small thing, right, Tiff? Like it does take
definitely
bit to
not.
Do. So we appreciate it when you do, and genuinely,
if you do want something a little less time consuming in Overcast, just hit that little star button and it kind of helps recommend to other people. So that would be kind of cool too.
Excellent. Yes. And thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you back at the office next week.